Meeting to order. Ms. Doyle, would you please call the roll?
Vice Chair Rita Athus.
Here.
Trustee Dennis Barsima.
Here.
Trustee John Butler.
Here.
Trustee Montel Gales.
Here.
Trustee Veronica Herrero.
Here.
Trustee Bob Pritchard.
Here.
Trustee Jacob Summer.
Here.
Board Chair Eric Watzowitz.
Here. Mr. Perry, would you please confirm that appropriate notice of this meeting has been provided and that we have a quorum present?
Mr. Chair, you do have a quorum present and appropriate notice has been provided pursuant to the Illinois Open Meetings Act.
Thank you. May I have a motion to approve the agenda as proposed?
So moved. Gales.
Second, Pritchard.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, we'll call the question. All in favor of approving the meeting agenda for today, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. May I have a motion to approve the minutes of the regular meeting of the Board of Trustees on September 23rd, 2021?
So moved, Pritchard.
Is there a second?
Second, Barsima.
Thank you. We'll give the second to Trustee Herrera. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, we'll call the question. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. I want to welcome any University Advisory Committee representatives present today. The current UAC is now 1:30, and I will call the meeting. Hannon, Peter Chomentowski, Katie Jekyll, Holly Nicholson, and Karen Wedby. Do any of you have any comments?
Good afternoon. Holly Nicholson, President of Operating Staff Council. Thank you, Trustee Barsima, for acknowledging in FACFO the sacrifices that we've had to make, and that will be a theme in my comments today. I do not want to take away from President Freeman's presentation of the university goals later in the meeting, so I will just say that I'm very excited about the work that is to come, and I'm supportive of the direction the university will be going under President Freeman's leadership. I want to be clear that my intent for my comments today is not to disparage or distract from these goals, but push for better alignment and accountability as they relate to staff matters. Because underpinning everything NIU wants to accomplish are the staff members who make it happen. When I stepped back into this role in July, I quickly realized that the culture among employees had changed completely in the 2 years of my absence. The situation for staff is dire. My constituents are reaching out exhausted, frustrated, and hopeless. Cynicism and apathy are taking hold. Whatever good conversations and relationships I have with leadership in my role as OSC president, it's not enough alone for them anymore. And I have the responsibility here to amplify their voices, and it's my hope that those present today will listen and finally act. Employees in general are not feeling respected or valued. They do not feel as though they are being listened to, as the problems they have been trying to communicate for years are not being addressed, and they're showing this by leaving en masse. While we know there are national issues regarding staffing, there are issues unique to NIU that have gone unaddressed for long enough that staff are choosing to leave, issues that predate the pandemic and the budget impasse, as well as the leadership team in place now. And people from other institutions and companies are actively recruiting NIU employees away. First of all, for civil service employees, desk audits and classification decisions are delayed, subjective, and inconsistent. This is an unsustainable situation that will ultimately hinder our mission, and it is not a new problem. When classification decisions could go either way, I hear so often that a lower classification is ultimately decided upon. I'm also told that many times the lowest pay in the classification is assigned to new or reclassified employees, and this indicates an overly cautious interpretation of civil service statutes and guidelines. As we continue to migrate hundreds of SPS employees to civil service, many have had to fight for proper classification and the seniority in their new classification, and many choose to leave. Pay is compressed due to a lack of raises, low starting salaries, and unnecessary restrictions attributed to internal equity. This problem will continue to get worse as the minimum wage increases. In some cases, if nothing is done, full-time staff members will be making the same amount per hour as our student employees. Not only are employees severely underpaid compared to market value, but we are also underpaid compared to other in-state public institutions. Moreover, the increases in salaries that have been implemented recently are not in line with the cost of living. Also, where are merit increases? 14 years ago, when I came to campus, they were a part of the annual review of employee performance. The following year, they were no longer available. The Civil Service Office said we could and should have them, and the Policy Library says we do have them. So the question is, where are they? There also used to be a salary increase for employees who completed degrees and certifications while working at NIU. And the SPS and OS councils were partnering to update this benefit when it was canceled without communication from leadership. I have heard this from supervisors who are struggling with staff retention due to the discontinuation of this policy. There are benefits that some have used to justify low salaries. However, these are no longer outweighing the sheer amount of work being required to cover vacant positions. The joy and passion that once fueled our work has been replaced by frustration and burnout. Supervisors have their hands tied, and they're having difficulty doing their part to retain quality employees. Even if they wanted to show their staff their value, they cannot do it in a tangible way. Establishing promotion pathways takes months to years, and there is no process for increasing their salary other than to have them seek a competing offer. Speaking of supervisors, another issue is ineffective managers who continue in their roles. Whether it's a lack of training or a fundamental issue with their leadership philosophy, they are creating the toxic employment culture that Jeffrey Royce, former OSC leader, referenced in the comments that he presented at University Council on October 6th and later sent to some of you. I will give you a few examples. Some leaders are opposed to remote working despite the earnest efforts of many to establish better policies and the 20-month demonstration that employees can be just as productive off campus as they are in an office. Many employees cannot advocate for themselves or participate in university initiatives for fear of losing their jobs or experiencing retaliation in some form, including being underclassified, labeled as difficult, or worse, given additional job duties to take on for no additional pay. In an environment evolving towards shared leadership, there are frankly large numbers of people who will never be able to participate due to lack of support from their supervisors or the lack of ability to step away from their jobs for any amount of time due to understaffing. Some supervisors are ill-equipped to deal with difficult conversations and conflict resolution. They aren't receptive to ideas and feedback from their employees, and they don't understand the discipline process. I've also been told that the recruitment process for civil service positions does not allow us to ensure diversity in the workplace. Though we recognize the importance of meeting the needs of our diverse students, the civil service system is putting a hindrance on how NIU can evaluate candidates with similarly diverse backgrounds. There are also knowledge gaps for human resources staff and department supervisors as well. And with the staff shortages in HR, institutional knowledge has been lost, and there's a huge backlog in several employment processes. HR doesn't have enough staff, the right staff, or well-paid staff, and something needs to change. We also must address the lack of basic cultural competency at this diverse institution and in key areas. Collegiality and respect are eroding quickly. Emails and interactions are getting more tense, and people are commenting freely on others' gender, body type, cultural differences, and not in a positive way. A significant result of all these issues is that services for students are suffering. Whether it's the cleanliness of their living spaces or availability of services where they relax and have fun, and everything in between, the current overworked and underpaid staff cannot adequately meet the students' needs. For example, there are not enough building service workers in our residence halls to keep up with the work. In one residence hall, building service employees have gone from 14 full-time employees to 7. These may not be NIU exclusive problems, but we are not seeing NIU specific solutions. If something is not done to help, NIU will continue to lose talented people. All that being said, I don't believe in bringing concerns forward without solutions. Addressing staff salaries must be the highest priority. This will require an extensive salary analysis and commitments to change the approach and philosophy toward compensation. My council and others would like to help establish processes that guarantee a job description evaluation and possible add pay when position vacancies create extra work. Also, discussions about merit pay increases and additional pay for receiving degrees should begin again. Operating Staff Council created an emergency fund for employees facing financial crisis, and we're in the fundraising stages, and we welcome your help. Commitment to the goal of enhancing training, leadership, professional development, and succession planning, including promoting from within, must be accompanied by accountability to establish metrics and reporting on results. Staff members are telling me they are not supported in their professional development goals and are overlooked for positions that end up going to outside hires. This must change. And when we do promote NIU employees, we must make sure they are equipped with the information they need to manage and the skills to lead with integrity and fairness. And let's prioritize investing in people rather than outsourcing to third parties. I and many others are partnering with ADEI and HR to administer training about respect in the workplace and other topics, and employees should be supported in attending. And as President Friedman said on Tuesday, we must complete a SWOT analysis to determine our strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats if we plan to be the inclusive university that values equity, honors diversity, and utilizes fairness in all matters. At this point, words alone are not going to work. Only swift action. Thank you.
Thank you, Holly. Does anyone else have anything to say?
Supportive Professional Staff Council did not want to provide separate remarks. We worked in collaboration with Holly, with Operating Staff Council, and basically those are our feelings also. So we wanted to just say that we are in support of that as well as the Faculty Senate. Thank you.
Thank you. we now have the chair comments as well. Today we will be voting on, and by the way, Holly, these are things that we know we will be addressing, and there's definitely have been discussions. So we hear what you're saying and what your feelings are. So it's not like we're not aware.
Thank you.
We will be voting on goals for 21-22 today. If these goals are approved, we will be assigning these goals to committees, and they will be addressed in future committee meetings in a continued effort of transparency and objectivity. So that's something that we'll be doing a little differently. I'll be talking with the rest of the board and the committees about where these will be assigned. We applaud the work that Dr. Friedman and her team have done with working on the strategic and sometimes multi-year goals to take NIU to new and higher levels of providing a better institution for the students, faculty, and staff. If you remember back to Vice President Jensen's presentation this morning, the number of high school graduates in Illinois is decreasing, but the level of need for higher education of adults will probably increase. So it is our job as a board to have eyes in and fingers out. We're here to help and guide Dr. Friedman and in accomplishing her mission as president of NIU. So from there, Perry, we recognize the members of the public who have complied with state law and Board of Trustees bylaws by registering their written request to address the board with our parliamentarian. Mr. Perry, have you received any timely requests to address this meeting?
Mr. Chair, we have one public comment this afternoon, Ms. Ravemeyer.
Good afternoon. My name is Rafe Meyer. I'm the Office Manager, Environmental Studies. I am the Vice President of the Operating Staff Council. I did not know until yesterday Holly was making a speech that kind of very closely resembled mine. I'm also the Vice President of Ask Me Local 1890. We talk a lot about culture at NIU. While one likes to think of culture as something that just is, we secretly know that culture is made up of the attitudes of the individuals within that organization. Here at NIU, on the surface, the culture is repeated through words like unity, excellence, diversity, and equity. We hear them multiple times a day and in most communications. We believe and live them. However, under the surface, among many of the employees, culture is a closed system where bacteria grows. Like a closed system culture, bacteria grows in a predictable pattern with a growth curve and four distinct phases of growth: the lag, exponential, stationary, and death phase. The lag phase for NIU employees began before my time, somewhere around 2008, 2009, which kicked off 7 years of no pay raises, lost employees. Remaining employees worked diligently with dedication and loyalty, awaiting the day things would get back to normal. The catalyst for changing The lag phase came when my union, Local 1890, formed, and then employees and non-union employees alike started receiving regular raises again. But what about my seniority? Parity, they replied. The exponential phase began in 2017 with the break of the state budget impasse, and it really soared by the beginning of 2019. Departments finally received the help they desperately needed. With new employees came the division of duties and responsibilities that lessened the overburdened and often overworked loyalist employee. But what about my dedication? Excellence, they replied. Everyone felt like things would finally be on the mend. The powers that be to live its mission and values towards not just students, but the staff as well. However, employee attitudes, like bacteria, grows rapidly. Employees found out many new hires were and still are being hired in at appallingly low rates, while others are hired in at rates almost matching their own. Whispered attitudes were still there. This can't be right. What about my seniority? Parity was the response. Stationary phase came around 2019. The growth of new employees slowed, but didn't stop entirely. Everyone assumed the gentle ease at which their office operated was how it was supposed to be. Now, if we could only receive the fair wage for the work, the volume, and our seniority, it would really show that administration cares. But why are we still paid such low rates? Unity was whispered again. But then, the death phase. By the first quarter of 2020, COVID hit. COVID was the catalyst that kicked us out of our stationary period. Many employees were reassigned, let go, placed on bumping lists, or simply retired early. Our numbers dwindled faster than, well, me chasing after an ice cream truck. My union began in FY20 with well over 600 members. By January of 21, we were at 542, and just last month, we dropped to 519. A documented historical decrease, and we are not alone. Supportive professional staff also decreased 20%. Temp faculty and instructors were not brought back. Even extra help is still at a minimum. A ghost crew is running NIU. But what about additional pay for heavier workloads? Equity, someone whispered. We love our jobs. We love the school, but we also need to be treated with respect and dignity. Words tell you who someone wants to be. Actions tell you who they are. The actions of previous administrations over the past decade and more show what NIU has become. Minimum wage employer has been echoed through hallways more than once. In Illinois, universities set the pay for their employees for all of their positions, and most of NIU pay rates are the lowest of the state universities, and we have a higher cost of living than comparable universities in comparable cities. Someone has to be last has been echoed more than once as well. There's a reason there's a mass exodus of employees now after the pandemic's major effects. A reason why we are losing longtime employees with institutional knowledge. Jeffrey Royce's speech before he left opened many an eye. Some are becoming woke to our plight. I thought a lot about the culture and attitude at NIU, about how the low pay rates, wage compression, lack of merit increases, and the loss of employees for more lucrative employment elsewhere. However, these issues are not the problem. They are the symptoms of the problem. And the reason for the whispered attitudes and underlying low employee morale. No one has ever solved a problem by putting a Band-Aid on a symptom. All across campus, union and non-union employees alike feel left behind, disregarded, undervalued, undermined, and overworked and underpaid. Indeed, ripping off the Band-Aid will hurt. Nevertheless, there are solutions. There are actions that will help address the disparities and disillusionment, beginning with a full compensation study, a SWOT threat analysis, and getting together not just the administrators, but the individual leaders of the groups affected to discuss the results of those studies and how to move forward together. When would you like to start the conversation to fix the problem and not just the symptoms? We're ready and we're listening. Thank you.
Good. We will now move to the President's Report, number 155. President Freeman, will you please present the report?
The first item on the President's Report is agenda item 7A, EAB Undergraduate Recruitment Services. This item was discussed twice today, once in the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee in terms of describing the services, and then again in the FACFO Committee in terms of discussing the expenditure authority ask. The recommendation forwarded from that committee is for the Board of Trustees to approve the request for EAB Undergraduate Recruitment Services not to exceed $900,000 in additional expenditure authority.
So do I hear a motion to approve?
So moved, Athens.
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion and we have a second. Discussion. I think we've discussed this quite a bit already. Anybody else have any other further questions? Hearing none, we'll call the question. All those in favor of the EAB Undergraduate Recruitment Services action, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Agenda item 7B, on and off campus unarmed security patrol. Again, this item was discussed extensively in the previous committee meeting. The details of the agreement with Kate Security Services were gone over with fair amount of detail. The recommendation forwarded from Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations is that the Board of Trustees approve the request for on and off campus unarmed security patrol as detailed previously.
Hear a motion for approval?
So moved, Gales.
Second, Herrero.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, we'll call the question. All those in favor of the on and off campus unarmed security patrol, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Agenda item 7C, bowl game participation expense, is also an item that was forwarded from the previous committee. The university here is requesting that the Board of Trustees delegate to the president or designee approval for all necessary and proper expenses related to NIU participation in a postseason bowl game. The Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee recommends Board of Trustees approval for the request of bowl game participation expense.
I hear a motion for the approval of the bowl game participation.
So moved.
Second?
Second, Herrero.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? We discussed this quite a bit already, so we'll call the question. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Agenda item 7D was not considered previously, and it is truly a joy and a privilege for me to present this item to the board right now. The item is appointment of Vice President, Director of Athletics and Recreation. With this item, the university is requesting that Shanti Frazier, who joined our ranks in 2013 as the Associate Vice President and Director for Athletics, be promoted with the title of Vice President. Since joining us in 2013, Sean has made so many contributions to the university. They're detailed in the very long board item. But I think what I would like to say is he sits at the table with the leadership of the university. He contributes to our university in terms of academic programs, in terms of our national reputation for diversity, equity, and inclusion. He ensures that our student athletes and our athletic programs, and now our recreation programs and our band program, are not risks to the university, but rather assets to the university that enhance our reputation in the community, and that all of those students are set up for lifelong success in the classroom and in terms of leadership development. It's because of Dr. Frazier's leadership that we have won so many athletic championships, also that our student athletes boast such high grade point averages, that we were recognized nationally for a diversity award in 2016, and we will be at least a candidate, if not the award winner, again this year. In addition to all of his longstanding contributions to the university over time, Sean has been willing to take on more responsibility whenever asked. Right now, in recognition of his expanded responsibility as NIU's Director of Athletics, with additional oversight of the band and recreation, Because of his impact at local, national, and conference levels, the university is recommending reappointment of Sean T. Frazier with a new title of Vice President, Director of Athletics and Recreation, effective today, November 18th, 2021.
Do I hear a motion to approve the appointment of Vice President Frazier as the Director of Athletics and Recreation?
So moved, Barsima.
I guess I'll second.
And you will second. Thank you very much. Discussion?
Yes.
Yes, Trustee Gales.
I want to be the first to say Sean's a winner. I'm glad he's on our team. I wholeheartedly support this promotion. And thanks for your dedication to the university.
Trustee Barsima?
Yeah, thank you. Sean, I would echo those comments, but I'd also say that, as a as an alumni, as a donor, as a trustee, you do things the hard way, but you do things the right way. And we appreciate that. Keep on doing the great job that you're doing, and we are lucky to have you on our campus, so thank you very much.
Anyone else? Rita? Trustee Athis, sorry.
I just want to echo everything that everyone else has said, Sean, and say that if any of you saw the picture of Sean after not last night's game, but the day before, that was on Facebook, if you ever wanted to see somebody's excitement and love for this university, that's that picture, and you should put it up in your office, okay?
Yeah, I'll make a comment, and then actually a comment about that. Sean, I'm the one that took that picture. I didn't realize it was going to get blown out all over the place, but and if you want a copy, it's right here on my phone. But yeah, you know what? I think one of the things also with Vice President Frazier is that the things we've done. We're all sitting here talking about football, and that's great. But you've also, the things we've done in women's sports has been amazing. We're playing, we have a MAC champion in soccer, the real football. Some people say it's the real football.
6 o'clock tonight.
6 o'clock tonight, bring lots of folks. We're hosting a regional. So there's a lot of things we've done. You've been a leader nationally with Lead One, the things that we've done with in the DEI space that you've done. So we have we're very proud of you. And there's just one favor I ask of you, and that is that if you could talk to Coach Hammack to stop taking the slogan the hard way so literally. I'm not sure if my heart can take much more than that, but I thought it was just a slogan. But we sure do put that into practice. But thank you for your time and your efforts. Trustee Pritchard.
Let me just add a footnote to Vice President Sean, that I think leadership is critical in the university. It sets the tone, it sets the expectations. And when I look at the student success that the athletic program has, and not only in winning divisions and championships, but in academic and in graduation, this is what we're here for. I mean, we have fun with all of these programs that you're managing. But these are programs that make difference in people's lives, and we thank you for it.
Any other comments? Hearing none, we will call the question. So calling the motion here for the appointment of Vice President and Director of Athletics and Recreation for Sean T. Frazier. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. What does the T stand for, by the way?
Thurston.
Always one. So, Sean Thurston, you probably only got called that when you were in trouble, I would think. The middle name comes up, but when we've all spoken a lot about you, would you like to say something?
Yeah, I would.
Sure. You got to come to the microphone.
Well, first off, my voice is a little bit hoarse, so.
Why?
My voice is a little bit hoarse. Are you messing with me? I want to say thank you so much. Me and my beautiful wife, Rosa, and my children, and I'll get choked up a little bit because emotionally, this has been a great ride. And I know all of you, I really appreciate the vote of confidence. It means so much to me and my family. It's more than just a title. It's a way of life. It's a culture. My good friend and boss, President Freeman, thank you for the vote of confidence and your friendship and your mentorship over the years. It means so much to me. We're going to make this place better and better and better. And we're going to get it done the hard way, because that's what we know. That's our culture. That's our DNA. Thanks so much for having me and giving me this opportunity. What some did not, and I will never, ever forget that, and I will work my butt off every day to make sure it gets better. So God bless you all. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Get us a victory, though, please. One more thing. Get us a victory. President Freeman.
All right. Agenda item 7E is the first of four collective bargaining agreements coming before the board. This is a collective bargaining agreement for the Metropolitan Alliance of Police, 414 security guards. This union represents approximately 6 employees total in the Department of Police and Public Safety. This is a successor agreement effective May 16th, 2021 through June 30th, 2022. The terms and conditions of this agreement are consistent with university policy and guidelines, and in this context, the university recommends approval of this collective bargaining agreement.
I hear a motion to approve the collective bargaining agreement.
So moved.
Second, Gales.
Thank you. Discussion. Sound is deafening. Hearing none, call the question to approve the collective bargaining agreement for Metropolitan Alliance of Police and 414 Security. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Agenda item 7F is a collective bargaining agreement for the Teamsters Local 330 Transportation Department. Teamsters Local 330 represents approximately 4 employees total in transportation services. The collective bargaining agreement represents classifications that include automotive technician and motor vehicle operator mechanic. This is a successor 3-year agreement effective July 1st, 2021 through June 30th, 2024. The terms and conditions of this agreement are consistent with university policy and guidelines, and in this context, the university recommends approval of this collective bargaining agreement.
I hear a motion for the approval of this collective bargaining agreement.
So moved, Davis.
Second.
Second, Herrero.
Discussion. Hearing none, we'll call the question. All those in favor of the collective bargaining agreement for the Teamsters Local Number 330 Transportation Department, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Agenda item 7G, collective bargaining agreement for the International Union of Operation Engineers Local 399 Heating Plant. The International Union of Operating Engineers Local 399 represents approximately 28 employees in 4 classifications in the heating plant. This is a successor 3-year agreement effective July 1, 2021 through June 30th, 2024. The terms and conditions of this agreement are consistent with university policy and guidelines, and in this context, the university recommends approval of this collective bargaining agreement.
Do I hear a motion for the approval of this collective bargaining agreement?
So moved, Herrero.
Second, Butler.
Thank you. Any discussion? Dennis, Trustee Parsima.
What you said, how many employees are covered by this?
28, or no, wait, I missed that. 4 employees in 2 classifications.
Which one am I on?
G?
Yeah, transport.
I'm sorry, it's 28 employees in 4 classifications. I was right the first time.
Okay, 28 employees.
I apologize for that.
And is this a new contract or a renewal?
It's a successor three-year agreement.
Okay.
Any other discussion or questions? Hearing none, we'll call the question. All those in favor of the collective bargaining agreement for the International Union of Operation Engineers, Local Number 399 Heating Plant, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Agenda item 7H is a collective bargaining agreement for the International Union of Operation Engineers Local 150 Grounds Department. This International Union of Operating Engineers Local 150 represents approximately 19 employees total in the grounds department in the following classifications: assistant grounds gardener, athletic turf specialist, greenhouse gardener, grounds equipment mechanic, grounds worker, and maintenance equipment operator. This is a one-year successor agreement effective July 1st, 2021 through June 30th, 2022. The terms and conditions of this agreement are consistent with university policy and guidelines, and the university recommends approval of this collective bargaining agreement.
Do I hear a motion for the approval of this collective bargaining agreement?
So moved, Gales.
Second, Butler.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, we will call the question. All those in favor of approval of the collective bargaining agreement for the International Union of Operation Engineers Local Number 150 Grounds Department, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
All right.
Motion carries. Even though I didn't, can we do that again?
I missed that because, yeah.
Yeah, let's do that again. I only heard a couple of ayes, but I didn't hear anybody say nay. So all those in favor of the approval of the collective bargaining agreement for the International Union of Operation Engineers Local Number 150 Grounds Department, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Agenda item 7I, real estate property sale art annex. As you may remember, in September of 2019, the board previously determined that the Art Annex warehouse was surplus to the university's needs and authorized the property to be sold under the updated provisions of the Illinois Property Control Act. A reasonable offer has been received for the property at 2239 Sycamore Road, DeKalb, Illinois, and efforts to close the sale may need to move quickly to accommodate the potential buyer's timeline. To provide clarity for the process, this action is to provide a clear authorization for me as president to accept the offer, President Freeman to accept the offer, and delegate authority to Provost Ingram, Treasurer Chinaya, and Secretary Edgehill Walden collectively to sign all related closing documents on behalf of the Board of Trustees in accordance with the Board Regulations, Section 6, Subsection A3. As you may remember, the modifications to the Property Control Act specify that resulting net sale proceeds be deposited in an account conforming to the Property Control Act and be used for deferred maintenance of the campus or emergency repairs. The university recommends Board of Trustees approval. Updates on the sale process will be provided at future board meetings.
Do I hear a motion for approval of the real estate property, which is the Art Annex?
I move Pritchard.
Second?
Second, Barsema.
Thank you. Any discussion? Trustee Gales.
You know, we got, of course, some briefing on this, but I wanted to know, what was this property being used for?
Historically, the property had a combination usage for storage of large props and materials, as well as faculty and graduate student studios for members of the Department of Art. As the quality of the building deteriorated, it became unusable for that purpose. The items stored there were either disposed of or salvaged and moved to more secure and more suitable storage. Studios that served members of the art department were closed and those individuals were relocated. In keeping with our philosophy of shrinking the footprint of the university, and in view of the benefit given to us by the Property Control Act, which allows us to sell surplus property and use the funds to offset deferred maintenance on our campus, we ask the board to deem this warehouse as surplus, and we're moving forward now with hopefully a sale.
Trustee Mercy.
So 91,000 square feet, that's a big facility. That's a big building. And you mentioned, Dr. Freeman, that it's not in good repair. So I'm assuming this can be sold as is, and we're not going to go through a bunch of inspections and somebody's going to come back.
No, the buyer is aware of the building that they're purchasing.
Because for what this is going to sell for, I would imagine. I want to make sure we're not doing a whole bunch of repairs to a building that at the end of the day, we break even.
You know, I think it was not a building suitable for art studios, for classroom use, and for storage of the types of costumes and textiles that were there. There were some large prop pieces there that had deteriorated beyond repair. But I think there might be other uses of the building that would be more conducive with the space, and I'm sure that the buyer is considering those.
You remember we discussed this a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah, no, this has been on the radar screen a long time. I'm glad to see us moving to make it surplus property.
Yeah, I mean, John Heckman is here. Do you have anything to add, John?
I really don't.
Any other discussion?
No, I recall us talking about it in relation to the storage of old sets from the Mira Gotham.
Yeah.
Which, from what I understand, were contaminated at this point.
Yeah. Anything else? Any discussion? We will call the question. All those in favor of President Freeman ability to handle the real estate property sale of the art annex, signify by saying aye.
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 Now, you two down there, we're going to have to do something.
All right. No, we're paying attention. Aye. Definitely.
Okay. Right.
It's that chocolate chip cookie that you had.
I know it's 10 after 12 after
Very
2.
Very excited about this item. Aye.
Yes. You remember the conversation.
All those opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries.
Agenda item 7J is our last action item for this board meeting. And it is the academic year 2021-22, also fiscal year 22 university goals. Since I became the president, part of the university's annual obligation to our Board of Trustees is to present goals that capture our aspirations and our plans for their approval. In this context, the academic year 2021-22 goals were created in alignment with NIU's mission, vision, and values, as well as with the strategic action planning framework presented to the Board of Trustees and university community in fiscal year 20. Together, the goals emphasize the six core themes: empowerment and shared responsibility, student recruitment, student success, and student experience, academic excellence and curriculum innovation, diversity, equity, and inclusion, research, artistry, and engagement, resource development, and fiscal responsibility. Shared leadership is a key element of this year's university goals, because we know from experience that NIU gets great results when our faculty, staff, and students are empowered to work in teams, to think creatively, express their opinions, and develop solutions. I look forward to receiving recommendations from the task forces and teams creating a strong future for our university, including but not limited to those working on improving our processes and policies, encouraging transdisciplinary scholarship and curricular innovation, enhancing collective impact of equity, inclusion, and belonging initiatives, and integrating our budget and planning processes. And as we heard here this morning, or this afternoon, We also have a group that's working on having a more respectful workplace, and there's a great need for a group to look more carefully at strategic workforce planning. I am also particularly enthusiastic and optimistic about the collaborative work in progress to strengthen our strategic enrollment planning efforts. Under NIU's initial strategic enrollment management plan, which was launched in early 2019, we developed and introduced new programs and strategies to make NIU degree even more accessible, equitable, and affordable. This fall, we saw the full effects of our innovative recruiting efforts as we welcomed our largest first-year class in more than two decades, an incredible group of diverse, high-achieving Huskies. We're proud of this new class, and we're proud of our continuing students, and we remain committed to their futures, to ensuring that they persist to graduation and that they leave us with strong opportunities for work, service, or continued study. That's why we're revising our original strategic enrollment management plan to respond to the disruptions introduced by COVID, to make sure that the proposed tactics continue to support our overarching enrollment and equity goals. And you heard from Vice President Jensen and Provost Ingram this morning that part of that revised planning is redoubling our efforts to retain students, to bring back students who stop out, and to be more sensitive to needs of adult learners and members of the incumbent workforce. Our desire and our commitment to our students is also why we're planning to partner with Braven, a nonprofit organization that collaborates with universities to enhance the earning power of promising students from underserved communities by providing them with the same support and opportunities available to peers from more affluent starting points. I'm grateful to the board for supporting a process that encourages us to set annual and multi-year goals with milestones that can be observed, defined, and used as the foundation to monitor progress. I am also appreciative of the timeline adopted for development and approval of the university goals, because it provides opportunity for participation from faculty, staff, and students. Goals in draft form were shared with our senior roundtable and deans, as well as with Faculty Senate, University Council, the President's Budget Roundtable, Academic Affairs Leadership, and monthly leadership meetings. The goals presented today reflect feedback from across the university community. There is tremendous Husky pride in our accomplishments and our commitment to NIU's mission, vision, and values, particularly our dedication to supporting the success of our students, producing impactful scholarship, and creating a community where every Husky is seen, heard, valued, and welcome. However, our faculty, staff, and students also recognize that our operating environment is changing and that the university must evolve to respond to new external challenges and to ensure long-term success and sustainability. In this context, we need to continue to move forward together by establishing shared goals and holding ourselves accountable. And we will increase alignment, enhance strategic resource and workforce planning, and leverage relationships as resources. I would be remiss, particularly with this year's set of goals, if I did not acknowledge how important the relationship among the university, the NIU Foundation, and Alumni Association are to this year's goals. The partnerships support not only our scholarship fundraising and campaign aspirations, but also our collaboration with Braven and our commitment to revitalize Greek life. For this reason, I'd like to ask Vice President Squires to say a few words to elaborate on the work we are doing together.
Thank you, President Freeman. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
It's not unusual that the foundation, the work of philanthropy advancement, lives in the university goals. We've always been represented in the fiscal sustainability section, and that's always made great sense. It was clear to me in my role as the vice president for advancement, however, that the alignment and the effort to intersect the university's goals and the foundation's aspirations this year was much richer and more deeply rooted in our shared objectives. Dr. Freeman mentioned a couple of areas, Braven and the revitalization of Greek life, and I'd like to comment briefly on those two initiatives as well as the campaign and the West Campus. Braven is really an opportunity for us to continue our alignment to external fundraising in support of student success and student achievement, student support. But it's also an opportunity for the foundation to tap into a toolbox of other supports, meaning a potential grant to help launch the program. And I think we're very excited at the grants committee level to be talking about a seed grant that would help get Braven started. The revitalization of Greek life is also a wonderful collaboration. Board member Jeff Liesendahl, who leads President Freeman's task force in collaboration with Melody Mitchell, has been sort of a tireless one-man band, raising money from among the alumni from our Greek organizations, but also working toward the objectives of having some aspects of the Revitalization of Greek Life Project actually complement our campaign story, which is interesting because it draws in some alumni and some activity that heretofore were not on our radar screen. So we're growing our universe of collaborators and contributors through this important effort. Jeff single-handedly has already raised over $75,000 on his own, which has far surpassed the expenditures that we've committed, and the foundation has been a funding partner for this initiative to kick it off and get it going. So you can see that though our name didn't appear in that particular goal, there's a lot of activity under the surface that's really helping to drive the collaboration. And that really brings me to the campaign itself. Clearly represented in the final goal. And as most of you know, we're deep in the throes of our feasibility study right now. Martin Lundy, as we speak, is preparing to reach out to the collaborators, our donors, and prospects who will be interviewed externally, which would be the final piece of our data and information gathering. Then they will go into hibernation over the holiday months to come out, hopefully by early February, with a recommendation about the size, scope, and duration of our campaign. President Freeman is very busy making some introductory calls to some of our prospects and donors who will be requesting an interview with Martin Lundy. So there's a lot of internal workings there to make sure that the way is paved for the most productive conversations with our prospects that we can possibly achieve. Then the fourth area where there's collaboration among these goals is around the West Campus development, with NICS as a centerpiece and sustainability as a theme. The foundation has been leading the efforts in some places, complementing efforts in other places to make sure that we are all working together. We have a fundraising initiative this year to help launch the NICS initiative to complement the advocacy efforts that are already going on. We want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to kind of nurture along that process, knowing that what happens with NICS and, more importantly, the context of the West Campus development, which will be a presentation that many of you will hear soon if you haven't already, is an exciting frame for the work of philanthropy and outside investment that will fit nicely into the story of our campaign. So there's a lot, again, kind of happening under the surface there. But these four areas together represent a more substantive body of work in full alignment with the university's goals, which is really exciting. This is a collaboration that we're all immensely proud about, and I think I want to just thank President Freeman for the opportunity to comment. I made similar comments to the board of the foundation recently, and I think from their perspective, I can share there's a deep and abiding loyalty to the university's direction and a rock-solid commitment to aligning our strategies in every way possible to ensure their success, and that is a very exciting place for us to be. So thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. Given the discussion of goals that took place during committees today during the State of the University earlier this week, I think at this point, with that final presentation by Catherine, I'll just read the recommendation. The university requests Board of Trustees approval of the academic year 2021-22, which are also the fiscal year 22 university goals.
So do I hear a motion for the approval of the goals that we've all been working on in the last few months? And been through all of this, but the university goals for 21-22 are have a motion, I have a second. Any discussion? Trustee Gales.
I do have one, and I want to thank the president for her willingness to be flexible with the board to try to appease and to satisfy some of our desires for measurements. She has been nothing but a professional in attacking that issue. Looking forward to the coming year to see how we tackle these goals.
Any other thoughts or comments? Again, instead of my opening remarks, I'm going to work hard on this. So I appreciate that. The board appreciates that as well. Hearing no other discussion, we will call the question. All those in favor of the academic year 2021-22, fiscal year 2022 university goals as presented here today, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Motion carries.
That concludes the president's report.
Are there any other matters requiring the attention of the board today? The next regularly scheduled meeting of the full Board of Trustees is December 7, 2021 at 9 a.m. And we will be celebrating a MAC championship victory at that meeting. Right now, the board needs to go into closed session. We do not plan to take up any new business following the closed session. May I have a motion to close the public meeting to conduct a closed session to discuss the following subjects authorized by the Illinois Open Meetings Act. Personnel matters, as generally described under sections 2C, 1, 2, 3, and 21 of the Open Meetings Act. Collective bargaining matters, as generally described under section 2C, 2 of the Open Meetings Act. Real estate matters, as generally described under section 2C, 5, and 6 of the Open Meetings Act. Litigation and risk management matters as generally described under sections 2C, 11, and 12 of the Open Meetings Act. Closed session minutes matters as generally described under section 2C, 21 of the Open Meetings Act. Motion for that.
So moved, Barcima.
Thank you, Trustee Barcima. Second, Trustee Pritchard is the second. Ms. Doyle, would you please take a roll call vote to close the meeting?
Vice Chair Rita Athus?
Yes.
Trustee Dennis Barcima?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Yes.
Trustee Bob Pritchard?
Yes.
Trustee Jacob Summer?
Yes.
Board Chair Eric Watsowitz?
Yes. The meeting is now closed. Thank you.